Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This morning, I want to share with us certain spiritual facts that form the undertone of spiritual possibilities in the natural. I want to share with you truths that are not difficult, but yet not readily available. The church is drifting into a plane of emotion and psychology. So the word of the Lord has been reduced from what it is to novel speeches, philosophical utterances, and not the reality of life that it stands for. So oftentimes, we are carried away by the dexterity of speech and the euphoria that is created in the atmosphere because of the oratorial prowess of the speakers that we engage and interact with. The truth is that if you encounter the word of the Lord, the impact will not be so much about the implication of it. The impact will be seen through a heightened consciousness of God and a transformation that makes you become a representation of that which is heard and believed. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You will listen to him, you will be educated, but the emphasis of his communication is not necessary to educate you. The reason is because the Holy Spirit that is coming is the one that will teach you all things. He said that anointing you have received of God, he teaches you all things. But when I communicate to you, I am bringing you the life, the essence, the power, and the nature of God that is encapsulated in the words. So when we teach and share the word of God, you will be educated in the process. But the depth and the efficacy of the word is not necessarily in the degree of education. The reason our generation particularly is arrogant is because we are a generation of knowledge. We know so much, but oftentimes we are epileptic before the real issues of life. That is a sign to us that we don't know as we think we do. And it's a call to humility, to learn at his feet. Nowadays, you are sharing the facts of the word of God, and people are, they take it for granted. Because to them, it's not rhema. Until you sound philosophical, until you sound ambiguous, they don't even understand what you are saying, but that's when they are jumping. And when we meet the real life situation, we are helpless. In the days of the fathers, the strength of their communication was not in the novelty. The strength of their communication was in the volume, the supply of the Spirit. Because that was the emphasis of Jesus' ministration. He said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." You cannot receive spirit and life until you are tuned to that frequency. If you are coming to hear English, lingo, philosophy, you may not be impressed even when God is moving. A lot of people now call the move of God the atmosphere of excitement. Excitement is a part of it, but the move of God is spirit. Many never encounter it because they are playing of visibility to the natural. This is why we hear many messages, meet many people, our lives not change, because we are not calibrated properly. Most times, before you can really help people, is to recalibrate them so that they can see things from where they really matter. It's possible for you to stay with Jesus and be saying the wrong thing. Judas Iscariot was with him for 3 years, and what he was expecting was a king. And when Jesus was not going in that direction, he was disappointed. And the man who was with the Lord for many years, his paradigm was wrong. He ended up betraying him. This morning, I want you to fine-tune yourself I want to share with you basic facts for impact in this kingdom. There are many principles out there, very beautiful, but I'm not going to share with you principles this morning. I know most of you know them. Principles of hard work, excellence, principles of commitment to the laws of nature, they are very beautiful. And because it is everywhere, I want to show you the things that are the undertone of the principles. The things you don't see that make the principles work. The things that give life to the principles are the things I want to show you this morning. It's not me trying to be spiritual and remaining in the spirit, but I know that until the spirit becomes an undertone of all you do, you will be weary the more you do it. The Bible said, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they know not how to enter the city. Labor is of great gain. Labor is always recommended, but the labor of the foolish results in a weary sort of situation. It brings you to a point of depression unless there is an understanding that you catch and apprehend. You will see why you do the same thing with different people, but your results are worlds apart. You can live with a man in his house, follow his lifestyle, do everything he does, but your results are worlds apart. There are things they are committed to in their subconscious because of where they have come to in the spirit that adds the essence of God to what they do. You and I can be praying here, and we'll pray and we'll sit down, and what you are looking at is the impact in the hall when you will pray. How he has prayed, what he was looking at is whether God he connected with heaven. You are in different realms. You are praying, you want everywhere to be on fire. Your focus is in the wrong direction. You become faint for praying, but your mind will not move anywhere. Somebody else with a different understanding, every time you pray, this connection to heaven, you will notice eventually that both of you are praying every day, but every day that man will go ahead of you. A point will come when you will need to book an appointment to see him, because the same enterprise but different results. The reason is the essence behind the activity. If you have principles and you don't have the essence of God, your principles will become a weight, because what you call principle is the life force of a spirit. You can learn it, but you may never walk in full manifestation. There is something that must happen to a man for the good. So God in his life to receive energy. Many believers don't know it. That's why they give you rules upon rules of living a holy life, but you find yourself struggling. Jesus, for instance, let me share with you something. Jesus did not give up on sin because he was abstaining from sin. Abstaining from sin is very important. But Jesus lived above sin because there is an organic operation of the spirit of holiness within him. That he walked in him, but even when he died, the Bible said it was by the spirit of holiness. When his subconscious was taken away, that thing was walking on his inside. So when he went to hell, he defeated captivity because there was an operation within him. Every day of Jesus' life, he operated with that operation on his inside. Every day of his life, that operation with the spirit of holiness in the heart of Jesus is what translated to what you see as abstinence. But you can watch Jesus and you say, Jesus doesn't shake ladies. You can watch Jesus and say, Jesus travels with holy men. You can watch Jesus and say, Jesus is always alone. Those are beautiful principles. But there is something he did all the time. He operated with a spirit that was at work on his inside. If you do the things you see Jesus do, and you don't do the organic cooperation aspect of relating with the Holy Spirit on your inside, you may not walk in holiness. You may not be talking to a woman, you may not even shake women, but your heart will be filled with humility. You may not know how to deal with the one within. For a whole year, you can live holy in the natural. Did you read about the Pharisees? When they are coming back from the market, they wash themselves because they have touched unclean things. Yet, Jesus came and they could not meet the standard of holiness.
They saw Jesus eating without washing his hand, and they were like, what do you mean? How is this possible?
Jesus knew that he must be clean from the inside.
So it is the essence within that gives value to the operations without. Many look at the outside, the external, but they never pay attention to the internal. That's why we live in secret sin. Nobody sees us, but we cannot be effective, because what makes great is our partnership with the Spirit of God on our inside. We can do everything that we see people do, but there's no partnership. This organic dimension of Christianity is the heaviest. And this is the difference between the Old Testament believer and the New Testament believer. There are many people in the days of old that live more strict and focused than you are. They could not meet the standard of heaven. The same thing applies to impact. You can apply all the principles and become very small. You can apply all the rules and become very small. Unfortunately, the only thing that is vital in all the books and all the messages are the principles and the rules. And you wonder why you listen to a man for 10 years. That man becomes bigger, and becomes smaller. He teaches you all the principles of success, yet you are not succeeding. Why? How many of you here, seated here today, have not paid attention to at least one preacher that has national visibility in this country? You must have listened to at least one of the preachers in this country that have national visibility. How come you have followed them for 10 years, for 15 years, yet you don't have national visibility? Most of you have listened to prophetic teachers in this country that operate in forensic dimension of the prophetic. How come you have never been able to see in the spirit? How come you have never been able to discern anything happening around you, or even as much as pick things from the spiritual? There is something that is not shared. It is the life that backs the principles. It is the secret essence of God that produces the manifestation. It is not taught. And this is where we need to give us a crisis. You obey to the level where you sow seed every month. And some of us sow seed, and when we sow it, we are sowing a client, and we are telling ourselves on our inside that God is happy with what we are doing. And something will change. And something will not change from January to December. And we say, this is our year. And we enter again, and we begin to obey all the rules that are given to us. Apply all the principles. Get me right. Nothing wrong with them. But there's a life. There's a life that powers what we do. There is an essence of God that men carry. It's a glow in the spirit. Maybe not glow. When a man comes to a place and things happen, there's a glow. There's something on his inside. There is something he does in the secret place. There is who he is in the spirit. All of those credentials, they are statements in heaven. For many believers have not taught. I will show you some secrets this morning for impact. For impact, it will change your life forever. Year can become more important than your last 10 years. You will do the same thing you have been doing, but suddenly your results will be different. So this is not you violating the principles you are taught. You will learn it again and again, and you will apply it more intensely. But your life, your story, your impact, everything will change in a moment. And you will wonder, how come? How come? Something has shifted in the spirit. And the more you commit to these things, the more you will advance in anything you do. Remember, the anointing is not for preachers. The anointing is the ability of God that causes everything you do to work. If it's ministry, it will cause ministry to work. If it is a banking job, it will bring distinction to you in your banking job. If it is business, it will cause your business to work.
So when we begin to emphasize certain spiritual realities, it's possible for us to know that we are not trying to make everybody an intercessor. We are not trying to make everybody an apostle. We are showing you things from the plane of God that if applied in any other plane we walk. The reason is because ministry is the most treacherous ground in life. That is where the greatest contention of spirit is. If you succeed in ministry, by God, everything you do will succeed. Yes. The greatest warfare of life is when you are in the center of advancing the kingdom of God. So when we share these things, it's not to make everybody a pastor. This is the problem we don't truly understand. So the moment somebody is on fire, he becomes an apostle. The moment somebody is on fire, he becomes a pastor. The moment somebody is on fire, he becomes a prophet. Because people are not taught. We need more apostles in the government than in the church.
Yes.
We need more apostles in the marketplace than in the church. Jesus did not send them to the church. He sent them into all the world. So what I'm sharing with you today is not to make a picture out of you. If you are, glory to God. Your calling is not dependent on the truth that have been shared. Your calling is not dependent on the success you begin to see. Now you started praying for the sick and everybody gets healed, does not mean you are called a preacher. You can be in the market and pray for the sick and they be healed. That you started seeing things in the spirit, giving word of knowledge, and all the word of knowledge you gave are accurate, does not mean you are a prophet. As you can't start a ministry. Until Jesus himself sends you, you are not sent. Remember, there are many who are even called, but they are not sent. Paul said, Junia and Andronicus. He said, they were believers before me, and they are of refuge in the apostolic community. So there are many apostles that were not sent. They stayed in the church to form government. They changed in the church to bring administration. They stayed in the church to bring different kinds of service. They were normal people doing their normal business. Priscilla and Aquila were people in the marketplace. That's when they met Apollos. So that dimensions of God begin to break out of your life does not mean you are called into ministry. You must hear Jesus expressly send you. This is not something you do by trial and error. Are we together now? But you must be accurate in your walk with God. You must be precise in your understanding of spiritual realities. And you must be deep in your interaction with God. Whichever sphere you find yourself, be it in politics, be it in ministry. Daniel was in politics for 65 years. Does that surprise you? That's one of the most progressive prophets of all time. Working directly with the government of Babylon. Never preached a sermon. He had encounters with principalities. He had encounters with archangels. He had encounters with all kinds of beings. But he knew his place. So the things I want to share this morning is not to make a preach out of you. It's only Jesus that makes a man a minister. But the things I want to share with you this morning, it will bring life to all your endeavors. Life is what we need for impact. Life. The degree of intensity of the life of God that flows through what you do. Pastor can say what? That's why somebody's kidney is damaged. All you need to do is what? Touch. The kidney will begin to prosper. It's not just about healing anointing. The healing anointing can be applied. As a boy, he began to prophesy to cars. His father's vehicle was damaged, and he came and said, car, begin to walk. How do you come for an engine? An engine oil by talking. The Bible said it was made by him. Without him, there's not any claim that was made. So if the word of God can make the kidney to walk, the word of God can make your walk to walk. The word of God can make your job to walk. The word of God can make your car to walk. The problem is that we are narrow-minded. So every time you begin to teach people about spiritual things, they let me that they think it's perfect. I want to first of all dissuade you from that before I begin. The word of God can be applied in every aspect of life, and the truth is that we may not make impact
unless it begins to affect every aspect of life.
That's why the devil no longer comes to church. He waits for you on the social media. He waits for you in your universities. He waits for you in the market. Because that's where true impact is. We come to church, we are excited, everybody is falling, we are shouting. The same people falling are the agents we meet in the club on Friday. Paraventure, we go for evangelism. The reason we pastors don't know all of our brethren in the flesh most times is because we don't go to certain places. If we declare radical evangelism week and say let's go to club evangelism, you'll be shocked to see assistant pastor with sneakers and a bottle of beer. That's why you'll be shocked to see choir director with assistant pastor on a Friday in the club. We package the suit and come to church on Sunday. When the priests look at us and laugh. The guy that led prayer like earthquake, the moment he left church, he's on Facebook for 2 hours, he's doing pictures. All the pictures he's doing are ladies. But they get to church. The priests are not moved. And then he goes to apply the principle they taught him, they think it will work. Meanwhile, the energy he's emitting is of darkness. The energy that predominantly works in you will determine the quality of your success. Jesus came to Peter's house, and the mother-in-law, the Bible says, was taken with fever. She was not oppressed by a demon. It was an energy that was on her. Jesus never cast out any demon. He only rebuked the fever. The same way a demon can make sick, a negative energy can make sick. The same way a demon can frustrate your business, a negative energy can frustrate your business. So if you carry a negative energy on your inside, apply every principle in this world, it will not work. That's what a lot of people don't know. This man you see in some city, there are things they know. And I want to share some of those things with you this morning. You don't know why the Bible said in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guide your heart with all diligence. He said, out of it are the issues of life. Life is not in any principle. It's what flows from within you that energizes principles. Men are taught principles. Their not parts are filled. But they never become great. They don't know why. The man advising his son from verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words. Give thy ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. You know what he's telling you? Every gate into your soul must be guarded. What he said in verse 23, this is the organic dimension. You don't guard your heart by acting in a certain way. Sometimes we come to church, we compose ourselves. We keep the frown at spiritual level. When we walk, we walk slowly. You know, spiritual men don't walk fast. They walk slowly. You don't guide your heart like that. Sometimes you don't even shape you. You don't guide your heart like that. See the technology of guiding your heart. Attend to my word. Give thy ears to my saying. The ear is the gate into your soul. Let them not impact on thy eyes. Your eye is the gate into your soul. You come to church, you act holy. But you go on Facebook, you are watching pornography. You will act only for 30 years, and then the people you taught in foundation school, you will watch them on TV. Then you know the power of the gospel is not how long you have preached it. It is the energy flowing from you. And I've seen many great people, see some of them. I have seen people that are doing dangerous things in God. When you live around them, you will be looking for what they are doing that is making them great. You won't find it. You go to live with some people. You man went to visit Reverend Dr. Mwakwa for an invitation. So when he came, Mwakwa invited him. So he thought that for 2 days he would go on dry fast. And then at the end of the dry fast, then Mwakwa will come and now say, take it. Everybody, Mwakwa will say, come. He will come, sit and eat very well. The guy was so disappointed. Come and eat you. What do you mean? He wants to be yourself. This guy has done ministry for more than 20 years. No one has ever done it. Even the ones that came, something will start tight. So God told him to go to Reverend Mwakwa. So when the king was expecting that, when he wake up in the night, he began to walk by, and walk by with praise in the morning. He didn't say that. He thought he'd be seen fasting. There will be time to go fasting. From Monday to Saturday, fasting, he told himself. When the king was disappointed, that will not be his lifestyle. Get me right. But the man knew God. He knows God. He has journeyed past rules and regulations. This is not a king for godless living, but his assurance is beyond activity. And after the ate the last breakfast, when the guy wanted to go, so I am going now. What is the royal told now? And the guy left, and that week he had two international invitations and traveled to Germany for the first time. We do what we do for people to see. We are fake. That's why our results prove that we are fake. If they grind your heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. So these men begin to live from within. Their life flow from inside out, not outside in. We live on the outside, creating impressions. But the energy within is negative. How well is your ear guarded? You have an itchy ear. Every time they talk against somebody, that's when your antenna comes alive. They were sharing the word of God, you were losing. But when they say, Sister Martha, talk like this. Put it down. You will hear that one for 3 hours, and you will gossip for 4 hours. Even when the person who brought the news stopped talking, you will be talking another one. Your ear is porous. Your eyes are porous. You don't know how they become hungry. So say, I have a covenant with God. He said, why should I do the vengeance? He can see this is it. How did he get so mighty that the Bible will say he was the greatest of all men from the east? In Job 29, verse 4, he said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the spirit of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. If that is a man that is excelling because he applies the word, there is something working in his inside. If you don't have it, you will do what you are doing until you go through. You will notice that at 35, you have gray hair everywhere. And then you discover that what you do is a body because the labor of the flesh leads everyone to them. They know not how to manage it. There are things that if you don't focus on, there is a consciousness that you cannot sustain. There is an operation that if it doesn't work on your inside, everything you do will be wicked. Everything you do will be wicked. See, this is the secret of great men. They will not tell you. They will come and scream things at you that you have done repeatedly and you are not having results and you don't know why. This duty has shown us from Proverbs here is the reason why some people never prosper. This is why some people fast for 21 days and on the 22nd day, everything they get after the fast goes down. And then they go for a meeting thinking they are going in the strength of the fast. You have depleted it by beholding certain things and allowing it to go into your heart, because that's where the bath of life is. What you saturated in your soul for 21 days, you can diffuse it in 10 minutes. What you labor to gather for 1 year, you can diffuse it in 1 minute. The Lord cannot aware. So you don't know why things are not working. Meanwhile, there's an alarm on your inside. Every time you take that step, the Holy Ghost begins to strike the alarm. You deafen your ears. And then you wake up, you think, share with the certain thing. And the Holy Ghost began to teach me these things. I knew my success did not depend on anybody. Men are a blessing. God will bring them to help you enter into your destiny. But if God ties your destiny to a man, you are finished. Because at best, they are men. The only man that has the right to destroy your destiny is yourself. And the only man that has the greatest contribution to fulfilling your destiny apart from the Holy Spirit is in yourself.
So what you do and what works within you that you manage is too important. You can go for 1,000 anointing services, but you will not manage inside. You will not amount to anything. After Paul imparted Timothy, he said, "This child, give I unto thee, O Timothy, that with to flee the gift of God that is in thee." How did Timothy get this gift? He said, "By the laying on of my hands." If you see Apostle Paul today, you will go on Facebook and say you are the poor of this generation, and you will stand like this. If they say why, you say Paul appeared to me and he told me, Paul who laid hands on Timothy, imparted Timothy, was telling Timothy what you do with what is in you is what makes all the difference. There are things we must carry and manage for the rest of our lives. Impact will depend on it. Let me show you quickly from scriptures. I don't want to be fanatic. I will never be fanatic. If it's not working, it's not working. If it's working, it's working. If I come and I begin to struggle and end it, I missed something today. And we go back and set it alight. Because this is not a game. This is life and death. The person who came to church came with an affliction that have troubled him or her for many years, and many may have died in a family because of that affliction. I don't want to come with a storm to create an impression in the hall as if something has happened. It is wickedness. And if somebody else is doing it and it's not working, I will not act as if I'm not a fanatic. If God is not real, let's leave him and face our life. And if it is real, if it is real, it should be proven. And you will be a fanatic and be religious and think you are going somewhere. But in the day you yourself enter a fix, the Bible said there's an evil day for everyone. It's the God you know that will deliver you on the evil day. If you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is little. You can float and celebrate a lot of things. But if Christ is called, it will show you that you have wasted your life. Don't set a trap for yourself. If these things work, they must work. If they don't work, they don't work. When we are talking the subject of impact, means we want to see the tangibility of what we talk about. If there is no tangibility, it's deception. What makes you feel you are the one that have the answer? What you have never seen, what you don't know, is what you tell people will put this. If you start coming to be crazy, are you crazy? How long have you been serving the Lord? If you serve God, nothing will go wrong with your life. Has nothing gone wrong with your life? Either you are deceiving people or you are being deceived. And the reason is because we will not commit to what must be done so that what is ordered is proven and verified in our lives. John said in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we heard, we saw with our eyes, we looked upon, and our hands handled." That's what we came to commit to you. So John did not come to preach the gospel. He came to commit God to people. He heard about it. He went to see for himself. And he handled it. That point he knew he had the right. He said, "That eternal life that was in the beginning, which we heard, is what we've come to commit to you." And he said, "We invite you into this fellowship." He said, "Truly, our fellowship is with the Father." That's a man that refused fanaticism. He handled God for himself. Most of the things we say only we know is a lie. Come to church, say, "It doesn't matter the challenge you have, God will meet it." And then they bring a creep. And then your story changed. You don't really depend on the mercy of God. The volume of your voice is very high. "You break, you ancient Zion, cry out, God, you are here on your throne. You break, you ancient Zion, sing, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
We were created for impact. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion. Somebody say dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we were created for impact. If we don't have impact in our world, there's something wrong fundamentally with our concurrent nature and operation. If our nature is restored to the nature of God in which we were created, and our operations are correct, then impact will be a necessary byproduct of everything we do, whether consciously or unconsciously. You don't need to be conscious to have impact. Let me tell you, there are many native doctors that if they pass through a pregnant woman, she will lose her pregnancy. The man doesn't need to be aware. There's something that travels with him. The same way a believer who understands his nature in Christ and walks with the Spirit enters anywhere, whether you know it or not, it shifts. If that is not happening, there's a vital challenge. Impact is the signature of an accurate man. Every time a man loses impact, something is wrong. What that man should do is to go back to the closet and find out what is wrong. You can clean somebody and his life will change. You don't need to put a sermon. Have you been in love before? And then your love and cause you have been happy to you. And suddenly there is joy in your heart. That person has impact in your life. The person doesn't need to tell you a lot of story. Have you loved somebody and is calling you the moment you see the name on your phone, you begin to smile? A man of impact. Impact is that product. So every context of your dwelling, your presence will shift things. Your words will shift things. The calling of your name alone will shift things. If you have impact in the life of people, when you see their pictures, that's why. If they call their name, you are accepted in your spirit because they have impact. That's how the earth resonates when songs arise. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8 verse 19, it said the endless expectation of creation waited for the manifestation, not the preaching, not the talking, not the activity of the sons of God, for the showing up of the sons of God. The moment they manifest, creation receives ventilation. Because man was created to impact creation. It said, for creation lieth in travail. It grows by the bondage of corruption. But the cure is for certain kinds of people to appear. Did you read about Jesus? He said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He showed up in the territory. Instantly, every force that holds that territory down shifted because he showed up. That's why Jesus will enter a place and demons begin to cry out. He has not said out, he came with a presence. That presence challenges everything that does not conform with the standards of heaven. He said the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Jesus carried heaven everywhere he went. He could go to Hades. And the Bible said in Colossians chapter 2 from verse 14 to 15, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in victory. Even in hell, he had impact. He could bring the covenant of God to Hades. And in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 8, he said, he that descended is the same that ascended on high, and he led captivity captive. He went to Hades and he scattered the government of the devil. Everything the devil has done, the souls he kept in his chamber, he collected it from the devil. Everywhere Jesus went, he enforced the will of God. He doesn't bargain it, he enforced it. What kind of man is that? He's a man of impact. There is something you do in order to walk at that level. This has nothing to do with shouting. It has helped me
anything to do with what is raging out of you.
The reason for stand
is difficult for the will of God to find expression is because there are contrary forces working against it. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18, the prophet looked up, wondering why the people of God are important. And he said, I saw four horns. He said, these are the horns that scatter the children of God in Jerusalem and Judah. That no man did lift up his head. No man can succeed. The guys have a doctorate degree, yet he cannot succeed. Everywhere he submits application, they either say you are not qualified, or they push his document aside. What is happening? Everybody falls sick, and then they die at a certain age. Nobody is getting married. What is the problem? There is a horn lifted. Every time the will of God cannot find expression, whether in your life or in the context where you are, there is a horn that is lifted. Because that's the job of the devil. For the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So the resistance to the natural expression of impact is a complex of ages. And the Bible said, I saw four carpenters. So impact is not a phenomenon. Impact are men. When a man becomes greater in stature, he becomes naturally greater in impact. He didn't say something blue and teach change. I saw four carpenters. Men who are equal to the task that the horns bring. And he said they shattered the horn, and instantly there was restoration. The living God created us and put us in this context is so that we can mirror every dimension that is in heaven. I told you that yesterday already. I told you that impact is not necessarily quantified by the volume of things around us. That is a level of impact, but that's a low level. Impact is the quality, the intensity, the nature of God that is put in everything that is around us. It's the glory. The glory of God is in the multitude of the people. That's the level of impact that is weak. When the people carry the nature of God, he said, as the waters cover the earth, he said, so does the glory of God cover the earth. So this time, God is not glorified because they are many. This time, they become the glory of God. It's a different quantity and quality. So impact is the degree of God that you can put in everything you make contact with. That's why I told you yesterday, Jesus met fishermen. He said, follow me. I will go to fishers of men. And in 3.5 years, these men, the Bible said, they turned their world upside down. What happened? They were changed. Most of them were older than Jesus. That means they lived their life beyond 30. They had no impact in their world. But they stayed with Jesus for 3.5 years. And 3.5 years of their lives became more important than over 30 years of existence. That means Jesus was a man of impact. Those guys were not doctors and philosophers. So you will say it's because of their certificates. No, they were fishermen. The Bible said when they looked at them, they wondered because they were unlearned. That means these guys had no schooling. They were not of repute according to the standard of the world that they existed in. But they met a man of impact. Impacting their unlearned nature was no longer a limitation. Their lack of certification was no longer a limitation because they met a man. And a point comes, you could not deny their existence. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, he said, Peter, by the Spirit, after he spoke, 4,000 people were added, 5,000 people were added to the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 people were added to the church. In Acts chapter 5, verse 17, a multitude was added to the church. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the company of the priest became obedient to the faith. In Acts chapter 13, verse 44, he said, in the whole city came to them. Impact! Because they met one man. These were fishermen. How come? When we speak of greater impact, we talk about transformation. Quantity may be part of it, but transformation is more important.
I didn't think Jesus didn't bother himself so much in the ground. He knew what he was raising. If he hit the ground, he turned the ground upside down. Greater gift. It's a greater ability to infuse God out of everything we touch. It doesn't come by chance. This man I'm calling, talking about God Jesus, I will show you how he entered it. Because this same Jesus that in 3.5 years turned fishermen to world changers, he lived in Nazareth for 30 years. And all that was known about him was a carpenter. What changed a carpenter to become a man of impact to receive from Peter? So it doesn't matter if you were a smoker, it doesn't matter if you were a hermit, it doesn't matter whatever you are. That same thing that happened to Jesus, if it happens to you, something will change. Moses will confront Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go, that they will worship me," says the Lord. What? Do you know who Pharaoh is? He treasured Pharaoh so much so that he ran away from Egypt. How will you dare think of coming back to where you ran away from? He didn't run away for 1 week, he was away for 40 years. That will tell you how much of dread that Moses had for Pharaoh. You couldn't call the name of Pharaoh and Moses not tremble. He said, when Pharaoh knew of what he did, the guy fled. Fled is different from running. Fled is running on your heels, don't you? The back of your head. He fled. That means the water is so much that you can't even carry your possession. He fled. When he came to the wilderness where he met Jethro's daughters, he had nothing, not even a cup to drink water. That's the meaning of fled. And then all of a sudden, something happens to Moses. And when he fled from, he comes back with his staff like the people. And when he came back, he went straight to the elders of Israel and told them he has come to deliver them. Are you okay? We have been here for 430 years. What are you talking about? Okay, who did you come with? We are over 3 million. And you saw that it's not who did you come with? We are trying to know who you came. See, when it happens to you and you show up in your family, they will see you as the matter they know. No, they are joking. They don't know. Something has changed on the inside. You know, I stood in my father's village and I said, "I will be in mission." And my sister said, "He likes talking big things." I told them, "A day will come, I will give you blank checks. Give anything you can think of. And everything you can think of will not be up to 10% of what I have." Do you know when fathers come to their 5-year-old daughter and say, "What do you want?" You can't tell a 30-year-old man what you want. You'll be bankrupt. But you grow to a level where you give a blank check. It means your stature is large. I told my sister, I said, "A day is coming. I will give you blank checks." They look at me and say, "You know, I'm the second to the last." All of them carried me like this. It's good. You talk, When it happens to you, you will say what you are saying. Your people will try to check. Did anything add to you? No. What added was not in the natural, it was in the spirit. That's why they can't see it. Yes. Moses came back. You ran away for 40 years. Now you came back. Instead of you trying to fraternize in the secret, you are talking about what has happened to you. Is it not the same Moses? No, this one has a more. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, he said, "I have made you a God, not a Pharaoh." Nothing changed in the physical appearance. God was infused. That's why I told you, it's what happens on your inside that empowers your principles. It's what happens on your inside that empowers your actions. And Moses will lead 3 million people plus out of Egypt. And he didn't sneak them out. The Bible says God gave favor to the Israelites and they spoiled the Egyptians. Go and ask your neighbor of gold. Your neighbor has no choice but to give you. The person that all he gave you for or your lifetime is people. They don't go to him. you say, give me that your gold that you use for your festival. And the person will go inside and find it. Same thing. And he's giving you his crown. Something happens to you. Every time you are favored, don't think it's because the person who favored you have no doesn't have other people to give to. They say, us are compelling.
If I give you money now, I have more than 30 people in my family that I should have given that money to.
The reason I give it to you is because I'm compelled.
You listen to somebody's message every day,
there are more than 10,000 preachers in this country.
That force that compels you to stay there is impact. It's not a joke. This is a business of spirits. And when you know it and you are initiated into the king, you become a god among men. Moses, something happened to him. And suddenly, a coward became a deliverer. Impact. It's not a pretty thing, it's not cheap.
Did you read about Paul?
A man that all his life was fighting to and he fled the church. Suddenly, something happens to him and he becomes the greatest builder of the church in the apostolic country.
But limitations are not a factor, they are a lie.
What you call limitations is what this holy word has made out of you. That's what your reality is. When God makes a man of impact, he travels back to the studio of eternity where he abdicated the throne. And he does something to you that makes you to become consistent with who you were in the day of your design. That's why Jesus had him in John chapter 4 and he met a harlot. A woman that has lived with five men. Jesus, first of all, made her know that I recognize your limitations. The woman spoke. Jesus said, give me to drink. And the woman went back to religion. The traditions of men, the principles that we practice and carry everywhere on our shoulder. They didn't know that principles are powerful when you encounter the spirit for whom those principles project. He met a man that was, they were all trying to worship for many eons. And he was so telling him, Lord, how is it that you ask me of a dream, being that you are a Jew and not a Samaritan? And Jesus laughed. The man said, and Yeshua said unto her, if you knew the gift of Elohim, and who is it that asked thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you rivers of living waters. What you are practicing, I created it. I use the Hebrew word so you understand the depth of Jesus' language. He said Yeshua. Yeshua is the expression of the invisible God. He said he answered and said, if you knew the gift of Elohim, Elohim is the creator of all things. That means this water that you are talking about is sprang out of me. I am the living waters. Are you greater than our father Jacob? That taught this way for us. Himself turned from him and his cattle. You don't know who you are talking. Most times we apply principles, but we don't know the spirit that produced those principles. Those things we call principles, they are life force in the spirit. And when she spoke, Jesus wanted to end her. She said, go and call your husband. The woman said, I have no husband. And he said, you have spoken well. Because you've had life, and the one you are with now is not your husband. Instantly, the woman's salutation changed. The one talking is talking from heaven. He's not on earth. He's walking on the corridor of time, but his head is in eternity. Jesus saw beyond the harlot. Earth had given the woman another divination for who she was. Everybody in the city perhaps called her a harlot. But when Jesus saw her, Jesus saw a national evangelist. And when Jesus was done with her, the Bible said the woman went and called the whole city. How many men have the capacity to call the whole city? In the generation where that woman lived, only one man had that stature. His name is called John the Baptist. The Bible said he was in the wilderness. That's a prophet. That means the ranking of that woman in the spirit is the ranking of a prophet. That woman was ranking as John in the spirit. The ancient prophet called John that was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. The Samaritan woman had the same stature with John in the spirit. But in the natural, she was a harlot. John was a prophet. So earth can give you a new definition of yourself. When you encounter the one that speaks from Zion, what he will do is that he will invite you back to the studios of eternity. And he will quicken that he was put in you when God fabricated you. And the woman invited the hosts. Hope you know the Bible said, as John cried in the wilderness, he said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. That's the only man in that generation that will summon a city. But the Samaritan woman had the same stature. When Jesus met Peter, according to the design of Peter, Peter was a rock. But you know what the earth had made Peter? The earth made Peter a reed. A man that has no stability. And when Jesus met him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jona." You know, Jesus will always tell you, "I'm aware of who you are in the natural. But I will show you who you are in the spirit." Because you cannot live and make impact in this world until your spiritual reality begins to show forth. "Thou art Simon, the son of Jona, but you shall be called Cephas." You are a rock. He changed him from a reed to become a rock.
Your presence in conference is not a matter. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You may be a fearful person, it's not a factor. You may be a weak person, it's not a factor. You may not be somebody that can speak. Something needs to happen to you. Religion cannot make men of impact. Principles cannot make men of impact. There are few ingredients in the spirit that makes men become men of impact. One of it are spiritual encounters. The reason yourself doubt the things you see is because you've not seen their reality in the spirit. The day you stumble on a counter, your story will change forever. The kind of Christianity we practice now is a Christianity that completely exonerates encounters from our artillery. That's why we are weak. And the reason encounters are scarce is because we don't look for things that have eternal implications. We look for mundane things. Our priorities, our focus are geared towards things that have only natural value. This is why people come to church. They don't even spend as much as 10 minutes to hear the voice of God. They are coming to church. They can spend the whole night ironing the dress they want to use. They can make a new hairstyle. They can buy a new suit. A preacher, most time, they don't spend time in God's presence before they come to church. The focus is whether the microphone is working, whether the keyboard is in place, whether the sounds are okay, or whether the backdrop is beautiful. If the man of God comes in and the backdrop is not in place, our focus is in the natural. That's why encounters are no longer predominant in our operation. And the reason our impact is weak is because we are no longer a people of encounters. Every generation that made impact, encounter was natural with them. There is no man of impact that is not familiar with the contours of encounters. That's why I began by calling specific names: Moses, Jesus, Paul. These men made the greatest impact in their generation. And if you like, begin from Genesis to Revelation. There is no man that made impact that was not a man of encounter. Not one. From the beginning of scriptures to the end. Adam was born in the womb of encounter. The Bible said, very early in the morning, the voice of God came walking in the garden. And every time Adam looked at him, he became like him. That's the power of encounter. Because the law of the spirit realm is that as we behold, we are changed. He said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. God is the God of impact. And until you see his dimensions, you will never be able to mirror it. Somebody used the example of the moon and the sun. The moon will vanish from the sky any day the moon fails to behold the sun. The reason encounters are so important is because what we call impact is the ability to transfer God into our realm. What we call greater impact is the ability to transfer more of God into our realm. If more of God comes upon your life becomes glorious. If more of God comes upon your business becomes glorious. So the reason you are making impact in business is because the influence of the Spirit is upon it. Have you seen somebody selling pure water in a billionaire?
Uh-huh.
And then in that same city, there are over 100 people selling pure water. Only one stands out. Is the influence of the Spirit. You hear some men preaching at a global scale, and you hear them say, what are these people talking? You think impact is English and intelligence. That's why you are where you are. That man has encounters with God on a regular basis. So what you are listening to, you are judging on the plane of the flesh. Every time that man speaks, spirits are mobilized. So things keep happening. And you, with your English language and Bible knowledge, your fellowship, you remain 12. And you don't know why. Every time you want to go to preach, you carry the concordance, you change the scripture, and when you come, you are coordinating yourself. The way your Bible works, you are conscious of the camera. So that when they snap you, there's a way you appear on the camera. So you have to do like this. You will do that thing in that community for a long time. Another man who is in the hurry. Now, this is not to talk down on excellence. Get my point right. Another man who spent 5 hours with God and he is already late, so he rubs, he can't even put his tongue well. He comes, he's talking like this. And then that same man, his name is resonating in the world like a gong. You don't know what is going on. You will compose like this. And then when they put your pictures on Facebook, one like this, and the other one. I'm telling you why we know principles, but we are going nowhere.
Yes.
Sometimes you hear about that, then you do your hand like this. Praise the Lord. When they hear your message, it's only past. The Lord is the Lord. Because the praise of God. You are talking like the people that have scripted the Bible. In your waist, we talk like a rapper for a long time. When the other person is limping to see his face every morning, you are composing yourself. You think ministry begins at the end of the pulpit. You are going for your business. Before you start the business, you call all your friends. I've started pure water business, so make sure you buy my pure water. How many friends do you have? Meanwhile, the other person wants to start pure water business. He goes to sacrifice a lamb to Habakkuk. And every month he goes there for that monthly encounter. Another person, by starting pure water business, he goes on 3 months dry fast to hear something from God before he begins. Because he knows the success of that business is not in the quantity of the water he's selling, it's in the voice of that spirit that is uttered. And if the Holy Ghost says, go in this dynamic, it's done. That pure water business will last for 100 years. Because the spirit that spoke it is eternal. And everything an eternal spirit do sustains eternal scope and capacity. Encounters. Abraham, a man of encounters. The Bible spoke of Enoch. Enoch taught his generation wisdom. So much so that everybody came to Enoch to look upon him like a spectacle. And in the days when his days on earth were over, he told them that God will carry him. The people didn't doubt him. You know why? Because every day they saw him, he was a miracle to them. So when Enoch said he would be carried, there's no record in the Bible that men argued with him. He bilocated, he teleported as a normal way of transport.
Did you notice that by Elijah?
When the servant of the king came to fetch him, he said, okay, tell the king that we'll be here with you. He said,
no, it is famous about you that you fly by the wind. Before I come here, God will carry you to another place.
It's natural. That was how Enoch was speaking in his generation. If Enoch tells you, I'm coming to your house, by now he's sitting in your family.
So they were not surprised.
They said, God will take him.
Encounters. He changes a mortal man to begin to function by the energy of immortality.
Suddenly, your words, you speak, and your words resonate in the spirit as if there is a gong attached to it. People don't understand what is going on.
You can preach one message for 1 year, people are hearing it again and again and again.
I used to be a Bible student. And when I say Bible student, I don't mean I've stopped reading the Bible. I displayed biblical intelligence. I talk this.
And when God came and said, I want to announce you, the only message they gave me to run with is the message of alignment. I go for 10 meetings in a week, sometimes in 2 weeks, I preach 18 times. And I get tired. I say, Lord, I'm talking only alignment. Will people not get tired of learning alignment? And I will preach the same alignment. And then before you know, they hear it, they say, God, what is this man saying? I say, it's the same scripture I use in 5 verses. How come I'm still blessed? And now I understood that when you are talking, people are hearing what the Holy Ghost is telling them. Encounters. Moses was a noble man. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said he led the sheep of his father-in-law to the back side of the desert until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. The moment he saw that thing, Moses had become an altar man. He said, take off thy sandals, for me to stand is on the ground. And that was when he was commissioned. Encounters. Men are changed by encounters. Abraham, normal man, in the halls of the Chaldees. And God showed up and said, leave thy country. Leave thy father's house. Leave thy children. Leave thy father's house. And come to the land that I will show you. Where is that land? He didn't know. The Bible said he moved as a pilgrim, carrying his sons from tent to tent, looking for a city with foundation whose builder and maker was God. But the boy came, he became mighty. So much so that only Abraham's family could defeat not one, not two, not three, four, five kings. Unawares. The messenger came and said that cause would have been taken by. Before he finished the message, Abraham went to his house, fetched a 318 king servant, and carried them and conquered kings of nations. Where did this story change from? Encounters. You want to find out why you are struggling? Go back and check how many encounters you have. How many encounters you have. That will keep for impact. If you don't have encounters, my brother, impact will be a story in your head. You will talk about it, you will quote men of God, people will be happy to hear it. At the end of the day, you and the same people will go into the same condition. Have you not heard preachers that come? The days of blessing are over. The days of Babalola. When they finish, all of them and the people they preach will go back to their normal mundane life. None of them will walk in that dimension. So we are as psychologists. We come to tell people things that we said. You want your story to change? You must come up on encounters. Even Jesus, who was and is, and we always remain the Son of God. He was on earth for 30 years, nothing changed, but the encounters began. As he went to be baptized, he said the heavens opened, and God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Ghost alighted upon him like a dove, and he left that place after his temptation. The Bible said he went in the power of the Spirit. If we apply the principles we are applying, at best, you'll be an average man. At best, you will be a good follower. But impact will be far from you. Joshua was walking with Moses and doing great exploits. And
And then when Moses left, you think Joshua naturally will be doing exploits. That's when you will know that the energy Joshua was spending was for Moses. Joshua needed an encounter for himself to be able to do that impact he was doing apart from Moses. And God will come to him again, be strong and be of good courage. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you.
Yeah.
Nobody does mighty things without encounters. You must have an encounter with the Spirit. If you see somebody doing great things in darkness, there are demonic spirits in the encounter.
Yeah.
You see somebody doing great things in light, there are either he has encountered the Holy Spirit, or he has encountered the Word of God, or he has encountered God, or he has encountered men or angels. You must have an encounter to make an impact. This is why you live a particular kind of life. And this is why your activities are heavenward. I told you two people can be praying. One is praying and focusing on people and what they are thinking and saying. Another one is praying and focusing on heaven. The man focusing on heaven will understand the place of encounters. So when he prays, his God is looking for him. Elijah came to the palace and said, before God, whom I stand, it's not moving by what he thinks. Encounters. Should you leave this meeting now and begin to look for light in the Spirit? That's not what I'm talking about. There was a time when every time I pray, I would open one of my eyes. I heard so much about the enjoyment. And as I prayed, in case something happened, I labored the futility for a long time. Until God caused me to desire Him, not things. When the love of God began to grow in me, that was when the encounters became natural. At that time, I no longer had ambitions. It is men that don't have ambitions that walk in the pain of encounters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because God will not fuel your appetite.
Yeah.
God will not fuel your flesh. And I will get there as I move when I start talking about process. When I talk about sacrifice. Encounters. You must first of all, you must have at least one of five encounters to be great in this kingdom. You must have an encounter either with God, or with His Word, or with His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, or with His angels, or with His men. The reason angels and men are part of this ranking is because they are carriers of the presence of God. And I will show you from scriptures. If you never encounter God in the Spirit, or encounter Him by His Word, or by His Holy Ghost, or by an angel or a man, you will struggle for a long time in this life. The reason is because the people you are competing with, they are interacting with spirits. That's what gives them advantage over you. Every time somebody has an advantage over you, he has the support of his Spirit. The Bible says we were created with a promise. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he showed that the holy man is laden with infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helps him with our infirmities. So every time you see a man making exploit, he is helped. I will say it all the time that there is nothing special about anybody. It is what backs men that is special.
Yeah.
You will think somebody is doing something because he looks excellent. When what is backing him is the roof, you will be shocked. Did you read the story of Samson? When the spirit, the first backing was withdrawn, he became like every other person. That means Samson was not a strong man. He had a strong spirit at work on his inside. When that spirit was withdrawn, they handed him, handled him by the hand, every other person. Encounter with the world. Moses encountered God. He became his leader. Abraham encountered God. He became the father of many nations. You must of necessity encounter God. This is where Christianity moves from the plane of emotion and religion encounter is not good. And then you feel you glad. You may go back and still be in bondage. The spirit will still oppress you. You must have an encounter with his word. The Bible spoke about Samuel. Had a great destiny of becoming a prophet. He was made a priest for a better age. He said, the Lord made a priestly robe and brought for him a little boy. So he will have to be an apron from a better age. Studying the Torah diligently, because the Bible recorded how diligent Samuel was. But Samuel was nothing. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 7, the Bible said how that God had not yet revealed himself to Samuel. So he was like every other person, even though he was born a prophet. This is why most of us will tell everybody we are prophets. But the problem is when what the prophetic anointing you have from us, we are epileptic. We did not lie. We know we are prophets. We are called to be prophets. But it is only an encounter that we shift the prophetic energy from the eternal realms to the natural. And in 1 Samuel 3:21, the Bible says, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Instantly, he became another man. So Samuel knows how it works. That was why when Saul met him, he told Saul not to worry. I will not keep you in Rama, I will disciple you for 10 years. He said, but as you depart from me, you will have an encounter and you will be changed into another man. So when the word of the Lord appeared to Samuel by his word, he was changed into another man. So he knew what he made Saul king was not where he was born. He was born from a disadvantaged background, but he will be changed into another man. The Bible says not one word from Samuel fell to the ground. Not one. What happened? An encounter. He said, so long as Samuel lived, the hand of God was perpetually against the Philistines. There was no army defending the territorial integrity of Israel. It was the presence of Samuel. That's why when Saul came to fight him in Ramah, that same thing that kept Israel in security perpetually, his circumference was reduced to Ramah. And Saul, the army that came from the side until night, Saul's case was worse. He prophesied until he was stripped naked, and he prophesied till morning. Did you not wonder why Samuel, a prophet, was put in the rank of warriors in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 to 35? The quality of encounter he had sustained the ability to defend the integrity of the borders of Israel. There is an encounter you will have today, so long as you and your family, the plague will end. But this is not you struggling to carry out stones and carry anointing oil, walk around the family around 12 midnight, pour the oil. If God does not inspire you to do it, you are a religious man. Buy one drum of oil and pour it. Nothing will shift. We must function by encounters. When you see a man sit on the word of God as if his life depends on it, he's not reading to preach. He's looking for life. He's searching for the Lord. When he finds him, something happens to him. I told you yesterday, a friend of mine told me, he said, truth. It's not true. You say truth is a reality that projects from an uncreated realm. You say truth is everything that God is and everything that flows from his realm. So when that thing comes into this realm, he has the ability to cause this realm to conform with the realm where it came from. Encounters are what changes men. Encounters are what gives men capacity to change the world. You see that you will never find this in any principle of greatness. But this is what made every man grow great. Every man has a story of an encounter. Every man making impact.
has a story of an encounter. Not one is exception. He may not be with God in the spirit as a light like Moses, but he must have found God in the world. The world will jump at you and it can never depart from you. And if you don't have an encounter with the world, you will have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 24:49, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power." It is your encounter with the Holy Ghost that will endue you with power. Baptism in the Holy Ghost is not within tongues. It is an endowment with power. It's religion that waters down spiritual things. Speaking in tongues is one of the evidences that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But everybody who is truly baptized in the Holy Ghost must be endued with power. Encounter with the Holy Ghost is a precursor for impact. No man of impact is without encounter. Encounters must be embedded in their story. One place, it is a must. If you take your spiritual journey and you never had any encounter, if you like, you learn everything that should be learned, you will be shocked that your life will diminish the more you travel. It's a pathetic and painful truth, but it is true. From Old Testament to New Testament, every man of impact was a man of encounter. Either with God, with his word, or with his spirit, or with his angels. A normal virgin. Normal virgin. Like every other virgin in Israel, suddenly the intercessor appears to her and said, "You are highly favored." Why she was being troubled by the salutation? He said, "You will be with child, and that thing that will form in you will be the son of the highest." How will these things be? He said, "Oh Lord, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest, Luke 1:45, will overshadow you." I tell you, the reason encounters with angels changes your story and brings you into realms of impact is because the angel can carry the presence of God. They can communicate the presence of God. In Judges chapter 13, from verse 1 to 3, the wife of Manoah, normal woman in Israel, even barren in her own case, an angel came to her and brought her an encounter. There will be a child in you. And that's where Samson shot out. The impact of Samson was a function of the encounter of the mother. That time, no razor must touch his head, for he shall be a man's life unto the Lord. So it is the encounter of the wife of Manoah that produced the impact in the life of Samson. And when Samson violated that encounter, the whole impact vanished like a mist. Encounter with angels and then encounter with men. Men who were frustrated, despondent, sat in one corner, gave up on God. Suddenly, the man Jesus shows up. And he met them fishing by the river bank. He borrowed Peter's boat and did his teaching. Peter was not moved. He's preaching the Torah. We have heard it and we are tired of hearing it. When he finished preaching, he now told Peter, "Launch to the deep." Peter said, "We have toiled all night and found nothing. But at thy word," the master didn't say anything. When Peter launched, the Bible said, "What they caught began to break their nets." Instantly, the fish was no longer their priority. They left the fish that they caught. What they toiled all night was no longer important. They left it with the boat at the river bank and they followed the man of encounter. Their life changed. Encounter.
far would they have made by being fishermen? Even if they were the richest people in that generation, they would have died in their generation. Me and you don't even know what Peter looks like, but we'll be talking forever. Because he met a man called Jesus. They told Nathaniel, the Messiah has come, say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I would have told you the background of that story. Why he sustained that belief system. But that will distract us. And when Nathaniel met him, he said, behold an Israelite, in whom there is no God. How did you know? He said, while you were under the fig tree before Philip called him, I saw you. Instantly saying you are the Messiah, he saw him. Do you know what happened to him there? The hope that was dead, he was suddenly quickened. Everything they got tired of believing, suddenly they were quickened to believe in them. Encounters. One of the many things encounters will do to you is that it will create you with a button. That button is what will fuel your vision. Every time buttons die, your vision is at the risk of annihilation. Discipline is beautiful, but button is the life that powers visions. I see a man wake up every morning praying. Tight as if you will do it after 2 weeks. The after 2 weeks morning, the moment you open your eyes and it's getting to morning, you will just hug your bed and cover your blanket. There is a hunger in their spirit that wakes them up. The moment it's three, the guy can't sleep. It's only like this. He must wake up. Even if you choose to close his eye, he can't sleep. It's not as beautiful as discipline is. His prayer life is not built on discipline, there is a body. He cannot but attend to it. Those things are quickened by encounters. The life of vision and the bodies that we see on the waters of encounter. There are too many believers without encounters. That's why our Christianity is reduced to language. When you see, when you perceive a reality, even if you are flawed, you can't keep quiet. They called the disciples in Acts chapter 2. From verse 1 to 10, you read the story. Called them aside, flogged them, threatened them not to preach in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, stood up and said, and said, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Encounters will compel you to keep going, even when it will take the last breath of your life. That's why all these men were killed with hidden matter. All of them, they were killed with hidden matter. When you see crisis, you will know the depth of your conviction. Your conviction is not judged by how much you know about what you are saying. When you want to judge the quality of your conviction, it's in the face of crisis. I was traveling with my friend Victor. We went everywhere in 2019. Everywhere. And one of the times we needed to travel, we needed to go to Bukari. And that's when the heated fight between the team and the Jubu was ongoing. One day a vehicle made it to Bukari and they got to Sakinan and dropped us. Yeah, what happened? You don't dare cross. The car will be burnt and all of you will be slaughtered. What? Everybody coming from Jalingo is withdrawn from Bukari. You don't dare cross to Jalingo. People are at the boundaries waiting, and once in a while they go in to check. Such was the fierce nature of the battle. The road was dry, there was no every military checkpoint, there was not one soldier there. Yeah, everybody had been evacuated. When we stood at the boundary of Jalingo, that's when we have to evaluate our conviction afresh. You know, you will preach and say, when we die for Jesus, wait until you see a conscience. You start asking God, Lord, what's the way of escape? What's the way of escape? Because the house man that was passing to Jalingo that we saw and carried us to cross the water. If you have not had an encounter, your condition is shallow. I tell you, how much you know about what you preach, how much you know about what you say, will not deepen your condition. Only encounter have the ability to chisel reality into your spirit. That's why all the disciples died willingly for Jesus. I assure you, most of us here will see death will be wrong. Anybody that walks with God in a point where he can die for him is the death of the second. The reason most of us cannot willingly allow our flesh to be chiseled is because we don't have encounters. So this world is all new to us. That's why the neighborhood of the world. When you start having encounters, the name of God will come more dear to you, and naturally you will gravitate in that direction. Impact is a function of encounter. Our Christianity now is devoid of encounters. That's why we are weak. The second spiritual precursor for impact is your ability to manage the presence of God. Your ability to manage the presence of God. The presence of God is very weak in the life of most of us. The Bible says the Holy Ghost in John chapter 14, verse 16, have come to live in us and with us forever. So there's no argument that we carry the presence. But our ability to manage the presence and to keep him manifesting, operational in our lives, is what determines the scope of our impact. Many believers, if you will see them in the spirit, the glow of God in their lives is very weak. When the spirit interacts with you, he doesn't see you after the flesh. He sees you from your reality in the spirit. And everything I'm telling you, you can trace it to every dispensation of God in scriptures, both in Old Testament and in New Testament. For you to make a tangible impact in your world, the presence of God must be manifestly carried in your life. And if the presence of God is there, there are proofs. And we see how the believers of old that make impact in their world manage the presence. Why was Israel able to find their path and to journey through all of the issues, challenges, and controversies they went through? The presence of God kept moving ahead of them. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, or better still, from Exodus 13, you see it reflecting many times how that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire went ahead of them constantly. That was what shielded them from calamity. When Egypt came from behind to devour them, the Bible says God saw the Egyptians from the midst of the cloud, and he said the cloud removed from ahead of them and went behind them. And the cloud caused the sand to choke the wheels of their tire. They could not catch up with the Israelites until they crossed the Red Sea. The cloud removed again and went ahead of them. When you see a man doing terrible things that you cannot explain, there is an operation of the presence of God at work in his life. Many times you hear God say, I will put your dread upon them. So when the guy is coming, the people are already dejected. He has not said anything. You don't know why you come for, you meet certain people and you are shaking. You are dead.
the dread, the dread of that person has been put on you. The person is not, he has not said anything, you are so afraid of him that you, that's why you see, that's one of the things many men of God abuse now. Because of the intensity of the presence of God to carry. The oppression of the presence is to make the people have high reverence for you. So you can be talking what you want until the man of God shows up. And then you just keep quiet. You are not saying anything wrong, but it came with an atmosphere that compares your compliance, compares your obedience, compares your reverence. The presence of God is the key of impact, but it must be managed. A lot of believers don't know how to manage the presence. Very disciplined, very productive, very hardworking, very visible, but no presence. It's never manifest in their lives. But the men that shook this world, they knew how to interact with the presence. They understood the protocol of the presence. Everything they did, they were conscious. Did you read about David? When God rebuked him, instantly he began to pray. What was his focus? Take not thy Holy Spirit from within. The army of Israel still intact. His position as king still intact. He never fought for it. Many times David will tear his clothes and fall before the Lord. Many times David will dance before the presence. And at one point he danced until he was stripped naked. He knew that was the secret of impact. Saul was never aware. Saul thought what made him have impact was his shoulder that was above everybody in Israel. Saul thought what made him have impact was the psychological power he used to enslave them. That's what many pastors use. You come, you give people instruction, say a lot of things to threaten them and to keep them. When they grow, they will break that yoke from their shoulders. You can do that thing to children, not to adults. The moment they begin to grow, they will know what you are doing in psychology, operant condition. They will break it. And you will know you've wasted your time. Men that shook their world, they carried God palpably everywhere they went. And the presence of God causes everything to bow. If you miss it, you have stepped out of your inheritance in God. Your journey will be short-circuited. The scope of your impact will be reduced. You will guide it with all your life. Remember, I began by calling Moses, Jesus, and Paul. Let me show you how these guys interacted with the presence. Many times in the life of Moses, you will hear the Lord say, come up, Peter, come up, Peter, come up, Peter. Moses was on the mountain from night till morning. And the next morning, Moses just comes down, and the next thing God calls him back. Moses will enter the tabernacle of congregation, and you will hear that the cloud came and rested upon it. Moses never lost the presence. He guided it with all his life. When God told him, I will not go with you. He said, remove not us from hence, if you will not go with us. We are not traveling because we are powerful. Yes, we have seen many nations fall, but we know the reason we are succeeding is because there is something traveling with us. If you will not go with us, we will not travel again, we will stop here. Is where you stay, will be stayed. That's the man that understands the implication of the presence. Jesus nurtured the presence of God he carried so tenaciously. You know, the apostles did not know why every day he goes to hide. Until one day he told Peter, James, and John to come with him. And when they went, they saw that as he prayed. In Matthew 17, verse 2 and 3, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Luke 9, 28 and 29, suddenly he began to glow. That was when they knew the secret that he carried. Many years later, even after Peter became an old man,
He said, we did not believe carnal device things.
For Peter, that thing he saw was more significant to him than every other thing he saw with Jesus.
He said, we saw him on the mount when he was transfigured.
And that was why Peter
operated in more dangerous dimensions than any of the apostles. In Acts chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible said the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. Because what he saw about the presence registered deepest in his heart.
So when Peter is coming out from the prayer meeting, you don't need to say touch us.
They just aligned the sick people and the shadow was transmitting God continually.
Why?
Because he had reverence for the presence.
Many years later,
the only thing Peter quoted as the substance of his conviction was when he saw Jesus transfigured. He knew that the secret of power was the presence of God. So his focus was the presence. There's no impact unless you can manage the presence. In the next 10 minutes, how do you manage the presence of God?
One,
by waiting on the Lord. These things, they are not emotional. They are not the things that make you jump, but these are the things that will change your story forever. And as I outline them, you will know that these are the things you don't do. If you begin to do them, you will also see how that your life will keep growing like this. The Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You will see your life going upward and forward as if there is no limitation. Everybody will be hitting a rock, but you will be going like this. Every day people see you grow, they will not even understand what is happening. Every day people look at you, they just want to come and relate with you. They don't know it's what is emitting from you that is drawing them. That's why I tell people, favor, 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 favor. A lot of people don't have favor, that's why they struggle. Especially young ladies. When they are 19, in fact they are elders. They are working. When they approach 29, that glow in the natural, you'll see it dropping like this. You go and look at the chest in the mirror, they will do makeup for 1 hour. Because it is the destiny of an outward man to perish. What gives a woman or any other person glow and favor is the presence of God he emits. And with the presence of God, you'll be amazed. Men will favor you without asking you for sex. They will favor you. The reason every man that gives you peanuts wants to sleep with you is because what you carry is outward. Nowadays, it's so demonic. Some come online in the name of Snapchat. You see a lady doing like this. What are you doing? You're not talking. He's showing you the serpentine nature of the age, and many believers do it. What you call me, say, look at this. I say, what? Somebody is just saying, what is this? They have the serpentine nature have so saturated them that they now it's no longer dressing half naked. They come and stand again. What's wrong with this generation? You want to grow and emit higher intensity of the presence, develop a culture of waiting on God. I can tell you, virtually every preacher that I know making impact is their culture. Most of them don't see mortal men until they have been with God for 6 hours every day. I heard that today, that same Reverend Dr. Omar Opah, that somebody came to visit, and he said, okay, go install. And you think it's by repeating the same thing. I heard that today, he wakes up very early in the morning and he doesn't see anybody until he has been in his prison for 5 hours with God. I heard that Dr. Paul Nature comes out by 2 o'clock. Is that every day? had no miracles characterizing his ministry. He only preached the cross. And for scripture, John 3:16, he was packing out stadium, a man of waiting. Every day he read 3 Psalms and 1 Proverbs for inspiration before he starts waiting. Some of us can't even wait to read one verse of the Bible before we leave. Father, thank you for this morning. We give you praise, we give you glory. And you are going out to make impact. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, a great while in the morning, Jesus went to a solitary place. Forget all this congregation and prayer we do here. People are running because they are taking pictures and they need different posture for Facebook. They can't go and help the pillar. You see somebody come and grab the pocket. If you don't snap that person after that prayer meeting, you are his enemy. Meanwhile, what we are doing, spirits will come and they will be touching our intention. Touching our intention. They know that this one has no back. This one. They just come. It's only 2 people like that prayer meeting. So we come and spot on the chair and eat. You are groaning. Somebody is groaning and they say the name of Jesus is answered. You know what groaning is. You are groaning. Sometimes in a lifetime, you will groan only 4 times. In a lifetime. Groaning is when the Holy Ghost takes over. You lose control. It doesn't happen frequently. It's like God violating you. He takes over you because he wants to swallow your infirmities. Groaning. Go and carry some carry divide your posture, they stand like this. So that you say, oh God, this man, a man of prayer. Canality. Sensuality. Pride and arrogance. If you do it to stir yourself, there's nothing wrong with it. But make sure your intention is pure. See these people who they Jesus went to a solitary place. See, when you are doing the business of waiting, the next person becomes a distraction. What you are looking for is to travel into the ambience of heaven. You shut down. Sometimes it may take you 4 hours to enter here. Because as you stay, time will fight you. All the things you saw, the things you saw in the movie, the things you saw on Facebook, they will be flying through your mind. You will stay there. Until that point comes when you mount up with wings like the eagles. If you have not mounted up with wings, you have not waited. You will stay. Sometimes God will come first and begins to show you the things that are engraved in your life. That unforgiveness. He will show you Peter. He will show you Nathaniel. That insulted you and you say you love him. And God will carry you through forgiveness for 30 minutes until you let go of Peter. Because those ways cannot cause you to fly. Your wings have come, but you can't fly. He will come and show you those distractions you saw on the Facebook. That picture that you look upon and you look at for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that the devil kept you looking at. You don't know that the devil is planting that picture in your heart. You will think you are forgotten it until the day you are alone in the hotel when you went for conference. Then the devil will bring that picture again because he hid it in your heart. And that picture will be the reason you will fornicate that night. So as you went away, the Holy Ghost will travel into your heart and remove that picture from where the devil hid it. It may take 1 hour. Until he purges your soul and pulls out that thing from your heart. Those things you said, those idle words you said that went into you and formed a stronghold, those philosophies you heard from your father for 10 years, God will dig it out. Some of you can never be great because while you were growing up, they told you for more than 10 years you are good for nothing. You are good for nothing. So that thing have already destroyed your confidence. You can't even see with important people. If you come to a place and they say sit here, you will sit like this. As if they are tricking pins and needles all over your body. You have lost your self-esteem. when you wait, those are infirmities. That's what he meant when he said the Holy Ghost help it. Help it. Before he even begins to deal with knowledge on how to pray and interact, he will first of all remove the garbage that is in your soul. There are young ladies that were raped at the age of 12. And they hate them. It's because of that they enter lesbianism. There are some that were raped and the demons enter them. So now they are 20, they can't sleep a day without sex. There is a denaturation in their soul. When you stay there, as you are waiting, the one that designed you in eternity will come. And you will begin to reprogram the soul structure. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, the Lord restoreth my soul. But it's when you lie down there, you will stay there until God will fabricate your soul structure, until your soul becomes a conduit. When you come out, God flows. The Bible said Moses wished not that his face shone because he stayed with God. In Exodus 33, you will read it and see. Show me thy face. Say, no. No one sees my face and live. But I will cover thee and hide you by the cleft of the mountain. And when I pass, all my goodness passes with you and back. Ah! See what certain people have been interacting with God in the place of prayer. And we are praying here. We want people to hear that we speak capital data talk. Somebody else is praying and negotiating with God on matters of intimacy. And when he came, his face was shining. The same thing that Moses did in the days of old, Jesus came and showed that that possibility exists. And the Bible said in Luke 9:28 that as he carried in that James and John on the second day to pray, he said as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Jesus came down from the mountain. The disciples were struggling to cast out the demon. And Jesus came and took the child by the hand, and the demon left him. And they were wondering, why could we not? These same people were the people he sent and casted out demons. How is it possible now that the same thing they did yesterday is now impossible to do? Waiting is not part of their life. That's why you go for one meeting, you call down fire from heaven, you go for another meeting, you are dry. The thing you saw yourself did yesterday with ease, you are struggling with it today. There are nothing about the Jews, but there's no freshness. You are rusty. You are not staying in the present. So you don't know how to fly. The elders of old, they dwell there. See, today, that Eli Adeboye, 78 years old, walks around the redemption camp. And during convention, when people come to walk with him, they are walking their tired. But the old man is walking, he doesn't even know what's happening. He's just moving with his dog. And you, who's a young man, you are wrong, you can't catch his face. That's where he's renewed. He's renewed. He said, your youth is renewed like the eagles. By waiting. The energy for impact is caught in the spirit. For those of us who preach, we know. You know the day you came and you were shouting. You know the day you came and you were speaking by the strength of the spirit. Because the glory is heavy on your inside. The energy for impact is imparted on waiting. This is not prayer. You come pray with John for 3 hours, 4 hours. No, no. This is you staying and seeking. Sometimes you will need to pray in tongues for 5 hours to begin to wait. Because you have to ascend. When you have hit that descending and you are quickened in the spirit, then that time you wait to look upon him. In waiting, we see him as he is, so that his dimensions are imparted into our spirit. And every man who waits, he takes his word for Jesus. This is why your inabilities are not important. If only you can wait. The keys for impact. These are not principles. These are realities. Life in the spirit. I can assure you, in every gathering of 10 believers, you will not find 2 that wait. I can assure you. You will not find 2. Including preachers. In a gathering of preachers, you will be shocked that in every day marks only 3 weight of God. We are in a world that is a fast lane. Everybody is in a rush. You have read a lot of messages, you have read a lot of books, so you know what to say. So your goal now is to talk novel things. Your novelty cannot transmit life. What makes you feel a lady who is a harlot? Who sleeps with men every night? You can come and tell him your English language, and that power will be broken. Who told you that a masturbator for 10 years will listen to you and the power will be broken if you don't communicate thoughts to that person? Your extent and depth of waiting is what will determine the brightness of your manifestation. Read it always. I can come and give you 500 keyboards here and say them with elaborate English. You can't even remember them as you leave the service. But when you go home, then the act of locking your door and staying with God. The reason we resemble the world so much is because we wait on the world. Most of us wait on Facebook. Have you been there? When you are not scrolling, you are not chatting with anybody. You scroll up, you scroll down. You scroll up, you scroll down. That's waiting on Facebook. That's why when you come out, you resemble the things you see on Facebook. Because men are a product of what they behold. And you can't behold God until you master the art of waiting on Him. He said, as they beheld Him, they are changed. These are cultures that have been obliterated from our population in the new age. And that's why many things are beginning to replace God. Go online and see most of the people you call prophets. Prophets. International prophets. Go on Instagram. You will begin to ask yourself, are these people Christians? A prophet will wear tight jeans that is cut. And then he sits on the cross for his legs and he opens his hand like this. Did you feel like body? We're out of time. Everybody. I'm telling you, most times when you come to talk to people, see, we know so much already, but we do so little. That's our crisis. My friend Opoku yesterday was showing me. A prophet that divorced his first wife and married another lady that looked like what you cannot, I don't know how to call. And the picture that they put on their wall is the prophet kissing his wife in the car. The other one, the wife was inviting people to church and she sat on a bike that's like power bike. And until she wore, all her armpits and chest were out. And when he invited people for power back for the service and started rising, a prophet's wife was twerking. Now that money. It was the first century church. We look like Babylon. If we wait on God, He will point all those things out. Those things, all of your excesses, is in the place of waiting that God will tell you, this thing you say is not true. This thing you do is a lie. And if you agree, then the energy is a pattern. The second thing for impact is what we call process. This is where I was coming. But I will teach this one in the I will show you the power of giving and sacrifice. This is where the greatest monetary of impact rests. A man who has not undergone the dealings of God, he can bring God to this world. You can know everything, you can talk everything, you can have the greatest advantage, but you can't bring God to your world. Only dealings and sacrifice has the ability to bring the weight of the glory to Israel. That's when God said, Jesus, your soul. Cut off your excesses and makes you pliable in His hands. Go and look at the men doing it fast.
the first thing you identify in any genuine man with impact is brokenness. Is the signature of impact. If you see a man whose impact has a place in the spirit realm, he cannot be without brokenness. And that's why even we, the young preachers, the older we grow, the more broken we become. Because we begin to interact with God in His true reality. If we cannot see the signature of brokenness in the man, forget what is doing. Paul said it's like a sounding cymbal. A man who is dying for God may not be doing impact. It's like what? A counting cymbal. I will talk to us about brokenness in the evening. And we will see why, although we are so knowledgeable in our generation, but God believes our neighbor believes in God. You have three best friends. None of them is on fire like you. You can communicate God. You talk about Him and you are intelligent in talking about Him, but you can't communicate Him. Everybody that came around the circumference of Jesus became like Him. So much so that when they wanted to arrest Jesus, they needed a man who is betraying Him to kiss Him. Because all of them were like Him. Discover your trust that is no longer your side. That's how you wake up and discover things have changed. This is not an emotional dimension of Christianity. And I didn't come to sound lovely. I came to bring you secrets that will make you a genuine man of impact. Make it a commitment. As you begin, you will discover how difficult it is. You want to test how carnal you are, attempt to wait on the Lord. You will notice how things will want to pull you away from His presence, as if the presence of God is an accursed place. If you develop the ability to stay there, you truly have become an envoy of heaven. Bow your heads and pray. One thing you ask the Lord this morning is to give you the ability to stay, to give you the resilience to stay and to carry the presence. Quietly, just whisper to the Lord, I long to stay, I long to die, I long to dwell.
This is what the men of old found. Does it not surprise you? In their day, there was no Bible to read. They knew God by experience. Nobody told them about